Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas. Man, is it April 20th already? Sure is. Want to welcome everyone to the show. Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How are you doing?
Happy, man.
Just chugging along.
You're smiling. That's a good thing. That's good.
I'm always smiling.
Are you? Wait a minute. I don't think so. I'm gonna call you on that one. No, okay. But you're smiling tonight. That's good.
After a race, I said.
Okay. Always smiling after a race.
Yes.
Of course, Mr. Freak 33, Matt Esposito.
How you doing?
What's up, Matt?
Doing good.
Busy. You're looking like you got your head in it.
Yeah, one of the cameras is not doing.
Not doing so well. Uh-oh.
There it is.
Uh-oh. Something happened over here.
Turn it off and turn it back on again. That's how I fixed my computer.
That's pretty much what we just did.
All right, that's good. Great show for you tonight. Our guest tonight, Sherry Goldstrom. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. You brought somebody in with you. Are we allowed to talk about them? They say, no. But we won't point the camera over there. Hello, Mr. Woman over there.
That's Bridget.
Bridget, hi. Thank you.
Actually, she just made the trip back from Mexico with Cindy.
Uh-huh. Cool.
That's my racing buddy right there.
Which one, Cindy or her?
Bridget.
Well, we're going to talk to Bridget then. We want to hear the Mexico trip. We will put you on the spot. So, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. Again, Sherry, thank you for being here. And before we get too much into that, we did have a race this weekend ourselves and kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit. And so I hope you don't mind, but I know you did some racing too. We're going to talk about that. But we'll wait for Gary.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on over there.
All right. And I can't believe it's April 20th already.
It is.
Maybe the quicker the better. Just chug along and racing's back in play again, which is great all over. So, man, I'm loving it. You know, unfortunately, there's still tracks that are having to wait last minute to get the approvals, but it's happening. You know, it seems like the dirt tracks all up and down the East Coast, West Coast are the first ones to be able to race. But, asphalt tracks are happening too, which is really cool. But what's the matter, Gary?
I'm left out.
Okay. That's okay.
As you know, I'm always the last one to know anything. So
what's any different?
That's right.
We'll let Matt to work hard on that. Yeah. We don't want to cheat Sherry out of her time on Facebook Live.
Don't worry about it.
In the meantime, I guess we'll talk.
Nobody wanted to see Sherry. It's okay.
That's
hey,
messed
as long
up.
As we're talking about racing, who cares
about me, right? we did have a race this past weekend, with the late model truck series, of course, the opening night also for LVMS. So, congratulations to all them guys for putting it together and to get it rolling. Finally, I know it was thrown together last minute, out at the bull ring at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, but they made it happen. I think it all went smooth. What do you think, Gary?
Yes. It went pretty smooth.
Our end also with the Lane Model Truck Series, I think it all went really smooth. And for us, we had some, for throwing it together last minute, we had some really great drivers with us, for our race. We had two Xfinity part-time drivers, and we had Tim Richter also that used to run the track out there, race with us. So that was really surprising, I think, for a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
A few things were thrown into our pits, to try to get to him. Hey, some people like him, some people don't.
Yeah.
When you're running a track like that, you can't make everyone happy, unfortunately. But
caught everybody off guard.
Yeah, it was good. I think a lot of people were happy to see him out there. And I think he was out there having fun, and it was great to have him in one of our trucks out there racing.
Well, I think it was nice for people to see him as a
driver,
and not just the boss telling me what to do.
Right, exactly. You know, and he used to race. He's a racer, and that's what made him, you know, understand a lot of what their drivers and all that were going through in the past. So it was good to see him out there again and, you know, having fun.
Yes.
Had a smile on his face,
yes,
I think.
And that was the main thing.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah. Jim smiling?
Yeah.
I wish I would have been there for that one.
We'll get you some pictures, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, again, you know, it's cool to have that. Like, again, we had Matt Jaskell racing with us. He's got some Xfinity rides lined up for him and had just raced Martinsville this past weekend prior. We had Stan Mullis, which is active in the Xfinity Series, race with us. And then guys, of course, racing with veteran Mark Allison. If you're in any kind of racing locally, you know who Mark Allison is. Great guy. Knows how to drive just about everything. And, you know, then guys mixing it up there in the front. You know, you had Matt Jaskell, Mark Allison, Stan Mullis, Tim Richter, and, of course, Gary Wyatt was up in there banging around a little bit. So, it was good. It was a good race. I did want to say it's good to get it behind us because it's always stressful leading up to it. But overall, I think it was a fun night. I just, you know, had a lot of fun.
And we're looking for next race, May 8th.
Coming up at the Bull Ring again.
We'll have a lot more trucks coming down.
Yeah, we have, because throwing it together last minute, there's a lot of people committed. We originally were going to race in Havasu. We had a race scheduled there, and there was some scheduling conflicts from the track. And we had to make some last-minute decisions to race here locally instead. And we had a lot of guys committed to that because they were coming up from Phoenix or Tucson. They were able to make a trip down and then get back. So we had about 12, another five or six, you know, trucks, I guess, you know, 12 minimum to that race. But because we had moved it, you know, they couldn't come to Vegas and make a longer weekend out of it. But they're committing to the next race that we have May 8th. So it's going to be a good night.
That's
awesome.
It's going
to be a lot of fun. So
I think overall everything ran smooth.
Yeah. Matt, you came out for the first time to help us out. Did you miss seeing you because a former skid plate driver yourself?
Absolutely.
You miss any of that?
Absolutely.
I didn't see you hiding in any skid plates going out on the track. So, but you were thinking about it, I'm sure.
I watched the whole race. Skid plate race.
Cool. Bring back some like.
I want to build a car. When I can.
Well, all you gotta do is do it, right? That's it. Yeah, which brings us to Sherry. You know, they had the bombers and all kinds of stuff out there. And you've been racing what's called bombers up here, but factory stocks down in Havasu.
Yeah, I got to give a big shout out to Bill because he's been an awesome guy. I was so glad he accommodated us, you know. And my big shout out is to my big brother, Chris, my little big brother, Chris Klein. You know, he is an amazing guy. About a year ago, he's been trying to talk me into racing. I'm a drag racing girl by heart, but he's like, you got to just try it. He calls me sister. And so I said, you got to try it. And I'm like, okay. So he and my dad and I went and looked at a bomber car and I looked at it and I was like, you want me to drive that? How can
I get that? You know, and if you don't know, your family background is from taking these old classic cars and making them beautiful and, you know, and so when you run across an older car like that and you see it and it's all banged up and stuff, you're thinking, whoa, hold on.
I looked at my dad and I go, do we really want to buy this? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you should try it. He goes, you know, you got to start. You don't want to like a clean, fresh car like one of ours. I was like, okay. And I kind of give a little snarl it. And it took Chris about 6 months, almost a year, to get me to go in it. But I'm telling you.
You finally did it. What was the final factor that made you say, yeah, you know what, I'm going
to
go ahead and do it. Really?
He
went down. Did you go
to
watch?
Practice. Yeah. No, he kept taking me to practice.
Okay.
And I really wanted to practice the boring, but because, you know, of COVID.
Yeah.
And he took me to Havasu, and we practiced by ourselves several times. And I was like, I think I can do this, Chris.
Really?
And I was like, I love this.
What was it like the first time? Getting on that track, like you have some butterflies, and like, man, you know, it looks easy because it always looks easier than it really is.
No, No, it's not. I still get butterflies. I was panicking, and I have my modes where I go into panic, and he's always right there with me. He's walking me through every step of it. What?
Is he panicking with you?
No. He is a calm to my storm.
Exactly. That's what's cool. You need that balance. You know?
He is a calm to my storm. And, he gets, I talked to him a week before the race this last time, and I told him all these things. He's like, it's a week out. You got this. Calm down.
So you're already panicking a week before. Right? Well, yeah, at least you got some foresight.
I always do. And he tells, and I have all this list of stuff, and he's like, you got this. You got this. And every question I have for him, he has an answer for me. And I'm like, okay. And so I go, I got to get my big girl panties on. So I do it. But
So that first time that you went on that track, the butterflies, and this was at Havasu for practice, correct? The first time you ever went in the car that you have.
And it's nothing I've ever experienced.
What were some of the pointers that let's say Chris or anybody was
giving?
Stay out of the wall.
Yeah.
Don't drive too high. No.
Hey, I've hit the wall several times, just so you know.
Several times. Well, because you
get them all behind you.
You
have to take your finger off that red button going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
I give a little tap to the wall. I've got it many a time. All of my friends that are watching me are like, did you realize you hit that wall? I'm like, yeah, I hit it.
Sherry's the only one that makes the wall scared of her. It's not the other way around.
I'm telling you, I've had reps, I've had everything. But you know what? I can tell you this, I never dreamed this would be like this. I never dreamed. This is...
So what was it like when you just dropped right into that track? Were you by yourself? Were there other cars?
Oh, I was with other cars.
Okay.
Well, by myself at practice.
Okay.
But when I got into that first race...
Yeah.
I will never forget that as long as I live. Talk about a bucket list. And it was great. Bridget was watching me. And
what were some of the tips before that first practice? Let's get to the race after that. But the first time you got on that track, you were by yourself or were there other practice?
Yeah. So he has just taught me so much. He's told me about the arcs and the lines and the...
Did any of that make any sense to you?
No,
absolutely
not.
Because watching it and stuff,
no,
you don't think of all that.
I still have a hard time with those lines. And he always tells me, are you going to get those lines? The ones we talked about and we practiced and he draws me little pictures on the paper. He even drew me a picture last weekend on the paper about my lines. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, we're drawing pictures now.
Yeah.
So I'll follow those.
Yeah. So
you got to take them to your dash.
I'm telling you. He tells me that. And for a long time, I mean, this might be embarrassing. He might just quote me for saying this, but I was in the wrong gear for many times. And he's like, I told you. All the way back and went up. And so he goes, I'm going to. Mark, make that on your dash so you'll get it. And I was like, I'm trying.
No, you didn't hear the engine screaming.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
No, that's cool. You know, it's those learning experiences that make it what it is, you
it's
know?
It's fun.
So you're able to get out there turning the corner. What kind of times did you?
I think around 18.3 has been my fastest time.
Okay.
Now,
what was the first time you went out? Was it 25?
No.
Did you do fairly well?
I did fairly good. Okay. He tells me, and I don't know, just because he's my coach, because he's my brother, but he tells me that I have potential.
Sure.
He said if I would just, can I say this on radio?
Yes, go ahead.
Pull my head out of my ass. That's what he tells me. If you just pull your head out of your ass, you'll be good at this.
Really?
What's
he talking about?
And I'm like, okay. I want to make him proud. You know, he's been my family friend forever, and for him, the thing about racing is that I never realized how much time and effort you put into this. I would go watch him at all his races.
Sure.
But until I actually raced, did I appreciate and respect him and appreciate the fact that he gives me any bit of his time because I didn't know what that was about.
Right.
And he's devoted to me. He's devoted to a lot of people, Emilio too, you know. And I appreciate him so much, and I just appreciate every second of the day that he gives me. And he's teaching me, and the time he puts in my car, and all of that. So
going to that first race with all them cars around, where was your starting position?
I think I started
fifth.
I think
so
what I started.
Okay.
I think I started fifth or third. I'm not sure. Because I've raced, I think this was my fifth race or my sixth race that I did last weekend. But I've always been five or above.
Okay.
And it depends if I have my head in my ass while I'm qualifying, as he calls it. And I do that quite often. I did it last weekend. But, yeah, no, it's amazing racing against the guys and the girls.
Sure.
You know, I love it. I try not to piss them off when I bump them a little.
So that's your thing, bumping the walls and bumping somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what? It happens. That's what's fun about that class. Not that it's a contact class, but
no.
Everybody should expect that to happen because it's a stock car factory stop.
They
class.
Do. And you know what? The thing about me is, like, it's been very hard for me to accept the fact that people are mad at me, but I do bump them. And I have a really fast car.
Cool.
And I like to go from the back of the pack. Like, the race before this last one, it was so cool because my gas lid was off.
Oh.
And so I got black flagged. And so he ran down and put it back on. And then I started 12th. And I went all the way to third.
Nice.
And then I wrecked. So I have potential.
Oh, that's
and
not nice.
But I love it.
The third was nice.
I love challenge.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect to win. I just want to learn. And so
right.
going from the back of the pack to the front is so amazing for me. But I have pissed a few people off. And it's okay. I try to tell them all that, you know, it's just racing. I'm not out there to hurt you anyway.
Well, you know what? And this is your first time racing. First year racing.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that. And this is a factory class. This is where you learn how to drive. You know, that's what that class is about. I know, you know, and there's been some people that have raced the factory stocks or bombers for years, you know, so it's not just a starting place. Some people end up staying there for a long time in that division, but they have to understand that that is a division for that, for someone like yourself to come into it, have some fun, learn about racing, and you know, you get banged up a little bit. As long as you're not doing it intentionally,
I'm not bumping anybody intentionally. I'm just learning.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what that division's about. And eventually people will come around. Some people still are mad at Gary, but there's some people that come around, right? Maybe, Gary?
I've only been in two or three races, so I don't know.
You know, so unfortunately, it's going to happen. I hope people, you know.
No, they're mad at me for winning, not hitting them.
I can't wait for somebody mad at me for winning.
You know what? It's crazy because once it happens, it's like something clicks, you know. It just happens more often. I've always said that in the past. Once you get that first win, whether it's a heat race or a main event, something just clicks, man. And just, I don't know if it's a different drive you get.
That's cool.
You start wanting more. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's coming.
I can't wait.
Just push more people out. No,
I
don't suggest that here.
I love racing so much that I have a car show this weekend. And you know, it's for classic cars. And I'm like, oh, hell, I'm bringing the race cars. Forget the classic cars.
Isn't that crazy, though, how fun it is to be able to get in something like that? Yeah, and you've probably watched and seen oval track racing, and you've said you've done some drag racing in the past yourself. Have you actually raced?
No, I
just liked it and been involved.
That's my favorite sport is drag racing.
Wow.
I've been a drag racing girl since I've been very young.
And isn't that crazy? All these years, you know, you kind of don't know about circle track racing. You know it's there. You've seen it. You've been around, you know, automotive my whole life. So
yeah,
it's cool that you can fall into something that you know has been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And to love it. So that's really cool.
It's very cool.
You know, it's like Matt Esposito here, you know, coming out of the stands and getting into a skid plate car. I love seeing that. I love hearing those stories. He's watched it. He's, you know,
it's just one of those things. But to get in it when you're 48 years old, it's like, am I really going to do this? You know,
but it's for fun.
Exactly.
You drop off that hill, and it's like, oh, my God, why didn't I do this 20 years ago?
Well, and you said you still get butterflies.
I'm 64, and I was like, what?
Well,
why didn't I do this?
Right. And you say you still get butterflies. I do, too. The fun part is just getting onto that track. And you're like, and then once you're on that track, it just, like, everything else goes away, and you're
focused. Calm before the storm.
Exactly. It's just so much fun when you're –
so much
getting around there, and that green flag's ready to drop, and everybody's side by side, and you're coming around that turn four, right, Gary?
But it's also like that in the pits too. When you're in the pits, it's hectic. You know, there's a lot going on, and you're trying to fix stuff, or you're trying to remedy stuff, or whatever. But you're not thinking about the bills. You're not thinking about work. You're not thinking. So it still is that 5 hours of just kind of bliss of not having to worry about the world. It's just racetrack, get the car on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm. And your experiences has just been Havasu so far.
Yes.
And again, Bill Rizzone and all them guys down there do
a
great job down there. They've always you know, since my first experience down there, have always had open arms,
yeah.
You know, and they've always welcomed everybody down there. And Bill Rizzone has always been, you know, a really good.
They're amazing. Really good. I'm very excited people. To race at the Bullring, though, because it's my home track. I'm born and raised here. You know, and I've been before, you know, right when COVID hit, I said, can we just rent the Bullring, Chris, so I can practice there? Because, you know, I wanted to do it. And another thing about my very first race, you reminded me of something a minute ago when you said that about the pits. The very first race I ever had, my transmission broke.
Oh, no.
And so the boys worked all night to get me to race my first race.
Wow.
They did. My Team 14 is the best team in the planet. I wanted to be number 19, and Chris goes, no 19.
14, you gotta be 14.
He goes, no 19. We're in COVID year. And I said, okay, I get it. And so he goes, be 41. And then I did something for the first time. I no, I'm going to be part of Team 14. So I love my Team 14. They're the greatest guys in the world. They devote their time to me. And, you know, they just have actually fit me. And they're very cool to me, and I love them.
Was there a reason behind the number 19? Was there something special?
Well, it's because it's always been my favorite number.
Really?
And then what I told him, he's like, no 19, sis. Sorry.
Well, you need to tell him when you get your first win, then you get to decide what number
you're You know what? I would never go from Team 14 ever again because that is my home and that is my team. And those boys are so good to me.
You know, and
that all came from AJ Foyt.
No
kidding. Yeah, it's a very special memory for Chris, and, you know, I'm very proud to hold it, and I'll be 14 forever.
Cool. You know, and Chris is one of the people that you can see that if you haven't seen him race at the track, you know, he could be gone for 3 or 4 races, show up, and then he'll kick everybody's butt and leave for another 3 or 4 races, show up, kick everybody's butt. I don't know what he's got, but he makes it work when he shows up. A lot of people probably don't like that, but
well, you know, they probably don't. And I have to say a little shout out to him. So I lost my brothers many years ago. Both of my brothers passed away when I was very young.
I hear that.
And you know, I've always been wanting that brotherly love. Mm-hmm. And that boy fills my heart. He is very special to me. I can hardly talk about him because I will tear up, but he's just the greatest brother that I have lost. And I'm so glad to have him in my life. It's something I can't even tell anybody about.
Well, that's cool. And now here's an experience you guys get to share on top of it. So that's a really cool story.
And we act like brother and sister. He bitches me out and I bitch him out, and it's fun.
Well, give him a hair pull or something for us.
I will.
Now, again, Chris and Alvin, that whole group are great
guys.
So out there, so you're racing against everybody. What's your best finish? I mean, and what kind of stuff is happening that's pissing people off?
Well, probably because I'm bumping them a little bit. And, you know, I bumped some people and spun them out.
Okay.
And it's not that I meant to do it. It's just I'm learning.
Well, you know, and I guess on the flip side, you know, people don't know what's intentional or not out there, and they've worked. You see how hard it is to work on your car and to get spun out or ran into the wall or anything, whether it's intentional or not, it still sucks.
It does suck. You know,
and Gary's experienced that out at Havasu in a bomber before.
Yes,
it happened to be a woman that
a woman took you out? Go girl.
Exactly.
You go girl.
The girls got to stick together.
I didn't mean to take anybody out.
Not just.
I don't think she did either. I don't think she
did. Well, I did that a couple of weekends ago to some guy.
Uh-oh.
And I felt really bad about it. But he was in my way and I was trying to get out of his way.
When's a guy ever in your way? Come on.
Well,
no,
they are in your way sometimes. You know, if you know me, I'm the most giving, loving person you'll ever meet. And I don't mean to sound conceited because I'm not, but all my friends will tell you that. But I think that's the hardest part for me racing, because I'm not a person that makes enemies. And when I get these guys that are pissed off at me, it breaks my heart.
Well, that's hard.
It breaks my heart because I'm not out there to do it intentionally. Sure. It's just racing, and
you're a competitor on that track, and you know, that's what you're there for. Everybody wants that same spot. It's the first place spot.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, when you get off the track, I've been wrecked, and I have been, you know, people have wrecked me out. I never, and I don't know, it's maybe because I'm new, but I never dreamed of, going and picking a fight with the person and wanting to beat their butt because they took me out. It's racing. And if I can't realize that, then I don't know, maybe when I'm 5 or 10, 20, 50 years, like maybe if somebody takes me out, I might go want to whip their butt. But I don't know. To me, that's racing. And if you're going to race, then you have to respect the fact that if you're in someone's way, you better move out of it because they're coming through.
Well, you know, I think as you learn more and as you pick up, you know, the skills and start using the lines Chris is telling you to use.
You know who's to go kick and who's not to go kick.
You know who's, who left to get you or not. But, you know, I think that respect will come. I think, you know, women seem like they have to work harder than men. I'm not trying to be.
What, because we're better than you guys?
Exactly. It just, yeah, it just seems that way because there's not that many women in this sport.
No, there's not. And you are in the man's sport. I was a truck driver for a living.
Oh, wow.
I drove for my dad for many years. And in that man's sport,
congrats.
In that man's sport, you have to be the best of the best because somebody's always going to be better than you, and you got to respect them. And so I'm learning that in racing, I guess. It's the same sort of aspect.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. You know, but I think, you know, some of these, even though we're serious at what we do in a factory stock or a street stock or any division, it's still a hobby. It's still, we're out there to have fun. We're not, you're not trying to become the next NASCAR fan or a driver, are you?
No.
You might be, maybe, but.
No, I'm just having fun.
Exactly. So I think if everybody kind of, you know, rewinds a little bit and just steps back and see, hey, we're out here to have fun. We're not intentionally trying to beat each other's equipment up.
I'm not trying to wreck your car for sure.
Right. But you know what? And Havasu's a really fun track because it is a two-groove track.
It's
you can run
fun.
Side by side, and I think that's what makes it a little different. That's what why there's more banging going on there than you have at some other tracks like Vegas.
That's what I love. I love getting in the back and passing. That's my most funnest part of the whole race is passing people.
Do you think or do you see what you've learned since the first race that you've been out there?
I have learned so much, and I've got a ton more to learn, and you know, a ton more. I mean, like I said, I'm just new at this, and you know what? I respect every single person that's out there.
Right.
I want to know everybody that's out there. I want to congratulate everybody that's out there. I don't want any enemies. I'm learning just like the rest of them, and we're all just as good as you know. We're all equal to me. Like.
Right.
Nobody's better than the other person. We're just having fun.
Yeah, we work just as hard as each other.
We do. Some harder than others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you get on that track, you're out there having fun. Hopefully Gary and I at some point will be able to race against you. Maybe even Matt. I don't know.
That would be fun. I almost did a skid plate car. Oh.
Different.
Yeah.
Well,
I was watching Cindy one night and I was like, Chris, I want to do that. And I don't know how we got to the bomber, but we did. But I want to do a skid plate car.
Well, you know, and Gary's raced bomber division for a long time on asphalt and dirt, and he actually was able to get in a skid plate when they first started. Well, was it the first year that they were doing it?
Yep.
Tell us about that experience.
First time on the track.
Yeah,
I went up and over the hill, and we call it going up and over the hill at Vegas. That car
That's
spun around so fast and backed it into the wall. I wasn't even on the track 20 seconds.
Well, you know, you don't realize.
Yeah, you're not used to, you know, if you're not used to it, because
you can't drive it like a race car.
Yeah.
You can't drive it like a normal car.
Right. I want to learn how to run on the dirt, too, because that's something I've always wanted to do.
That's a lot of fun.
Well, think about that. You've got asphalt experience, but he also has dirt experience, and to be able to get in a skid plate and just spin it like that, you know, you expect something different.
I don't even think I was fully on the track. That thing spun around and backed it right
so,
into the wall.
That would be so
How
cool.
about when you started getting back on it to go again?
Well,
spun it again and again?
Really?
Again. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I want to do that.
It's a whole different thing.
I bet.
But it's fun.
I bet it's fun. I see you've had a lot of fun with your trophies in it. That's pretty cool.
No,
you showed him your one trophy?
Yep, my one trophy.
One trophy.
Yeah, your one trophy. Your one single trophy in that whole room. Yeah.
My one trophy.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
that I worked hard for.
Well, and it just goes to show you how hard some of that stuff is. Like, you race that, but you get into a whole different division, you know, skid plate, where you think, oh, this is easy. It's a beginner's class or whatever it is. And it's not. It's tough.
Well, it'd just be like me going from driving a regular car, you know, street racing, then going into skid plate. But for me to jump into a bomber,
a whole different experience.
I don't
right?
think I maybe would make it around the track a couple times, I'd be like 3-4 laps down. I guarantee it.
You know, and maybe you probably had a little advantage over Gary, let's say, because he's raced, so he's expecting a racing environment where you're not, you don't know what to expect when you first got into a skid play.
I same thing. Got on the track, tried to drive it like a race car, realized that didn't work. And then I actually broke my mentality, and I went at it as, because I was a forklift driver before, I went at it with that mentality as, I just need to learn it as a new vehicle.
Right.
I went at it like, what the hell is Tim doing to me?
Why did Tim? Well, because that's what happened. Like, Tim wanted to, and it was his idea to to bring the skid plates to this track, and he, what, bought or built two or three, I think?
Yeah, two or three, four of them, I think.
Yeah.
And then
and that
putting
was one
different people in it, and that was one of them.
That's crazy.
But it's just like anything. You learn the sways. You learn the bumps. You know, driving a truck, you learn just the different feels.
Right.
You already know what's going on just by the way it feels. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to pull over because I know I'm going to blow a tire. And there goes, and you're already half slowed down. Like, you feel it and you know. And that's where you just got to get to. You got to know your car. And that's what makes it you better, I think, once you are in tune with your car.
Well, and for you, you didn't even know racing it at all, let alone the flags, the lights,
the
rules
part,
you know, any of that.
So hard.
No, like,
that
is
so
hard. Like I was saying,
it was so hard.
And I had my first race, and it was fun, whatever. And it wasn't until, like, you know, two races in, I realized, I'm like,
oh, there's a flag guy up there.
I started
a yellow thing.
I started with the lines, and then I saw the wall, and then I saw the yellow lights, and then I saw the flag guy. Now that I can actually pick out people in the stands.
Right.
Yeah.
Matt's probably going, what's that guy going to jump for?
The very first thing that I do now, like when I went to the bowling alley night to watch the guys practice, because I was supposed to practice, but I looked, the very first thing I looked for was the flag, because for the first, I was like, Chris, where is that flag guy you talking about?
He's not here.
He's over there. I was like, where? And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Right.
When you come out of four, before you hit the gas, look up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize there's a lot going on that track. You know, they got the flag guy, you got the corner guy, you got the lights, you know.
The qualifying is the most struggle for me sometimes in a couple races before. I would do that, but I got screwed up, and I didn't know it was my second lap, and so I stopped before the second lap, and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Right.
Like, I get confused.
Well, it's funny because, like, even, you know, Chris knowing and stuff, you know, you forget that somebody else doesn't know.
Because
he's got the experience. He's raced for so long. We kind of expect someone else to know these things, and they don't.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't know what a heat race is, a qualifying is, and all that. You know, when you talk to friends, like, you race with? Where? What's that? You know? So it's weird, you know, explaining it to somebody.
Yeah.
But to learn the rules and the flags and what they mean.
I really respect racers. I've always respected them in any aspect. But until you really drive a race car, you don't realize how much time and effort you have to put into it and the things you have to learn, you know. And it's just an amazing sport. And there's so many great people in it.
There are.
Amazing sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
You know, they don't realize, too, you know, I mean, we're getting up to the warmer months, but you're putting on a fire suit, and you got gloves, and you got a helmet, and, you know, and you're in, you know.
And they sweat.
And the tensions are still getting hotter and hotter, you know, your adrenaline's running.
Yep.
But that's part of the excitement and fun.
It is.
So, you know, it's not uncommon for things to flare up in people's, you know, aggressions and things. But, you know, we all just need to learn to calm down a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Respect each other's stuff.
Well, I think the one thing that's really nice about the racing community is, unlike other sports where you have the teams and your family sits in the stands, this, your family can be directly involved.
Right.
You know, they can come down to the pit and just give you the thumbs up before you go on the track. Just changes the whole dynamic.
Right.
And to be able to have family and to make friends, to pit next to each other, you know, it's almost...
You know, it's funny.
Like a giant family.
It's funny you bring that little thing up, because sometimes it's cool to be sitting in your car and you zone out anybody. You're waiting to get on the track. You're in lineup or something, and somebody comes up, either taps on your car or gives you a thumbs up or something. It to me, that's pretty cool. It's like, hey, that's a little booster.
And especially
you know?
Being older, when you have, like, you know, the
the 13-year-olds, you know, bandoleros.
You sure that's the thumbs up they're giving you? Okay.
But no, but, you know, they'll get the thumbs up.
That's
for
a double barrel.
Same thing. They'll tap on the car or they'll say, you know,
right.
Hey, good luck out there, whatever.
Right.
You know, and being, you know, 50, you're like, hey, that's kind of cool.
It was cool. Being like 35 like myself, you know, it's really cool. But, you know, that's part of it, though, is, you know, the learning experience and all that and, you know, learning the flags and learning all that and all starts coming together. Do you guys use radios?
We do to learn, to teach. He teaches me it's radio.
Well, do they allow it for not during the races?
No.
So what do you think with the difference in on practices, let's say, while you're learning, having somebody in your ear, does that help?
Oh, my gosh, 100%.
Do you think it would help during your race?
I do. I think that they should do it in all classes because it's a safety thing.
Right.
You know, I realize there's rules and stuff, but to me, it'd be better to be safe than not be safe,
right?
You know, and to protect yourself, because until you have raced a good year or two, you really don't know. There's a lot of learning there, and still after that, there's learning. But
right.
To me, what's a $50 radio? I mean, to me, that's one of the best things in the world,
right.
Just to be safe.
They don't use receivers there? I mean, or do they? You know what a receiver is?
No.
Okay.
The radio where the tower
so
talks to you, where the officials can
sometimes,
talk to
you? Oh, no, I don't know. It's
so
just be talking to your team.
Yeah,
well.
So they do have a device. They use it at the bull ring, and they're starting to use it more and more at a lot of tracks. It's basically a one-way radio. It's a receiver. You have, you know, you put it into your headset in your car. You can't talk back, but they have a, you know, somebody that
in the tower,
you know, giving, you know, hey, there's a spin in turn three, or everybody slow down.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
that's important.
Not to tell you how to race, but they're out there to tell you, hey, everybody, you know, green flags come in, or you know, safety aspect.
Yeah,
they line
it's the
line up.
Part of it all. That's I think the most important thing in this, because you know what, we all have families to go home to, and we all want to be safe in the end.
Right, and ultimately, this is a hobby. This is for fun. We're out there having fun. You know, that's our therapy. You know, where somebody else might pay for a therapist. We pay a lot of money for our therapy.
Right.
And you'll see that when you move around in different divisions. At some point, you're probably going to get out of a factory stock and jump into something else.
I hope to retire my car. I gave her a name, Thistle. My mom passed away 5 years ago, and in a dream one night, I was told I had to name the car Thistle. Why? Don't know. But Chris calls her El Diablo, and I was like, no, her name is Thistle. And he goes, what? And I go, well, hey, it's for my mom, okay? So Thistle's got to retire and become I want Thistle to be in my museum someday.
Cool. You know, and that's really cool, actually, to do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've tossed around and talked about, because, you know, you guys have, you know, a museum of all these great cars, and we've tossed around and talked about for local racing, and not just local Vegas, but local in the West area, to have a, like, a racing museum, to retire a car, like, you know, like yourself, to Sherry's, old whatever car, or Gary's old bomber, or
how
my
cool
old,
would that be?
You know, whatever I have, you know, at the time.
I believe that. I don't think she'll let it go.
I don't like letting my cars go. That's why they have to be in
a
museum.
Well, you could just bring them for a minute, and then we could just, like, switch them out of one.
There you go.
People could see how cool they are.
We'll do that, and we'll sell it.
That's my problem. I like getting them. I don't like getting rid of them.
Really? That's my dad's problem, okay?
Yeah.
250 later, that's my dad.
He likes getting them.
I bet you
they're
in competition.
Yeah, they're close.
The problem is his retained value. Mine are race cars. They lose value.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know what? Any old car is cool, no matter what it is. And
what kind of car do you have in your factory stock?
It's a Malibu.
Malibu? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a dented up Malibu.
Sweet.
Yeah.
She's not used to driving dented up cars.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, yes, I am.
Now she is.
Cool. I love it. Now I get kind of worried when I drive my regular car. I'm like, oh, shit, I better hit the wall.
You're driving down the street. I'm going to push this person out of my get out of my way.
Yeah, I think that every time. Move them over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dang.
I'm more worried about the grocery store.
Oh, no.
Her with her shopping cart, maybe.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, a lot of people push their cart
right.
Like they drive.
Yeah, they sure do, don't they?
That's so
true.
Funny. So would you have a race coming up next race, or are they off for the season?
The 30th and 31st in Havasu is the last race there to end the season, and we're going to go support Bill. And then, of course, I'm going to be at the Bull Ring on May 8th.
Yeah, cool.
And
a lot of racing coming up. You're going to actually race the Bull Ring?
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
As long as my coach says I can do it. Yeah.
You got to hit your line first. You know?
I know, right?
There's only one.
Right.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
What's your best finish in Havasu?
I think an 18.3 in third place.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So
that's good.
Yeah, I've done pretty well. I'm not bragging at all, you know. I'm just done very well. I think because of the teaching that I've had, you know. And
now, you got this is what, your 5 or 6 races. Are you in the points?
No, no, I'm not in the points at all because I've had to miss some because of family matters.
Okay.
But no. I'm just
let me tell you something. Once you get in that points battle,
I know you won't miss nothing.
Watch out because it becomes a lot of work.
There'll be a lot of bumping.
You know, it actually becomes more.
Well, maybe
intense.
that's why they're so intense. But I'm not in the points. All the racers in Havasu are great racers. You know.
Yeah, and you know that's like any track you go to. Nobody's out there really. I mean, if there's always that one. One girl. I mean, that one person. I'm playing with you. You know that one person out there, you know, and the local tracks know who they are, and they're usually like, hey, watch out for that guy or something. But, you know, to me, you know, you go out there your first race and, you know, you get a decent finish, and you get your second race, you get a decent finish. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a points race. You're like, man, I got a chance to get top five, or I got a chance to get – so then it becomes a lot of work. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to do that, but it changes things. Like if you miss a race or something, it stays fun because you know you're not in it for points. You're in it per that one race.
Right, and I think that's what they forget, though. You know, I've missed a few races because of some family things with my dad, and but I'm not in the points. I'm not going to take out anybody's points or anything like that. I'm just out there for fun. But I do respect that because, you know, when you're up there and you're racing, you have to respect people's points and what they're doing, and I mean, it's all about racing. It's all about fun. Right. So if you can't have fun, then why are you doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
So
you wrench on your own car?
No, Chris is teaching me that.
Okay.
You know, I have wrenched on a few cars just like with my dad's shop and stuff like that. But, you know.
Have you heard like terms that they're throwing out there? You're like, what the heck are you talking about?
And I asked him, and Jason, what is that? And, you know.
Have you asked, is that legal? I'm just playing.
What?
Is that the gray area everybody's talking about?
I can't hear you.
No, but it's funny because when you're in the pits and you're working on things like that, you know, you start hearing these terms that you may not have
I try to
before.
Listen and learn from them, you know.
But then you have to apply those terms to actually driving on the track so that when you know something's happening, you can use the correct term.
Exactly.
They're talking about stagger or something.
I have a hard time explaining my things to him.
He's doing a wiggly thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
It's funny because who was it came up? They said their car was shaking. Was it Arlie?
Arlie,
He came up. He goes, the car's shaking. I said, what's it doing? He puts his arms up and he starts wiggling. He goes, it's doing this. I was like, what's that, wiggling? What do you do? Show me again. So he does it again. I was like, okay.
That's
you know,
funny.
It's funny how, you know, you're trying to relay what the thing's doing, and to them it might be called something.
Right.
You know,
that has been the hardest thing for Chris and I because I'll be like, oh, I'm just not explaining myself right. And so I'm getting it.
He's like, you know, I'm driving in the corner, but it keeps going that way. You know, it pushes or
it's
or
a lot
tight,
of,
you know.
It's a lot of classifications, you know, that you don't learn and, I mean, that you don't know and, so you learn and, you know, it's fun.
That's cool. And the more you learn, the more fun it gets and the more you...
The more nervous you get.
Yeah.
The more anxiety you get.
What's your goal in that division? I mean, is it just to have fun or are there some times you're trying to
achieve? Do you know what?
Or a certain person you want to beat out there?
No, do you know what I want to do? And to some people, they don't understand this. I just want to make that boy proud. I want to make him proud that he is... taken the time and effort to show me the things he showed me because
you know what I can't speak for Chris but I'm sure just you taking it on that track had already made him proud.
Probably did, but I just want to win for him one day. I just want to win and show him that I do appreciate everything he's done for me. I appreciate all the dedication that man has for me to tell me the things, because he is, to me, is one of the best racers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's done so many things, and for him to just give me the time and effort and teach me the things he knows is so important to my heart.
No, absolutely. And if you don't know Chris, you know, go talk to him, say hello to him. He's involved with the children's charity.
Yep.
So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Too.
Both on the speedway. He got me involved in it. Cool. And yeah.
You know, and nothing greater than that for an organization like that Super Speedways to step up and to be involved with. And the charity that they do, they give money to not just a specific one. They spread that.
They do. We spread it to all the local kids.
And that to me is cool. That to me, because I've seen other charities and stuff, and a lot, you know, and they're specific a lot of times, but what the Speedway Children's Charities does is give it around. They spread it around.
They do. So I have been involved in a lot of charities. For the last several years, about 12, I've had a car show every November at the end of SEMA. And I've given my money away to different local charities. And we were big into Parkinson's for a while.
Okay.
And when Chris introduced me to the Speedway Children's Charity, I've been on board, I think maybe, I don't know, 6 years or something like that.
Wow.
Maybe not that much. But I'm very proud to be a part of that because, like you said, you know, the way we raise money and we give it to the locals, it's so satisfying. And at the end of the year, when we give away that grant money, it's a wonderful thing. This year, you know, every year in August, we have a car show at the South Point. Chris and I are in charge of particularly that.
Cool.
But this year, the Red Car Show, which is this weekend on Saturday, office at Nostalgia Street Rods, I'm giving my money to the charity.
No kidding.
Yeah, because it is a good charity. And I just like, I've been involved in so many different things where the people haven't done right with the money.
Sure.
And I know that Paulette and that whole, you know, everything that's going on there is the right thing. And the money goes to, and it helps the kids locally in Las Vegas. Right. And we've seen such a difference, you know, we give away all that grant money at the end of the year, and that's the most greatest thing in the world.
So this Saturday, you said you have a car show at, if you don't give the address on, you don't know what it's called or where it's at.
Yes, no, it's called
the
Red Car Show, and Lugnut, his name is Randy Connell. It's called VegasLugnut.com. He is my good friend. He and I are putting the show on. It's at our museum at Nostalgia Street Rods, 5375 Cameron Street. It's the Red Car Show because this is Randy's car show, and he wants it to be all red cars.
Really? That's interesting.
But
that's pretty cool.
But I did tell him.
So is it like, you know, St. Patty's, they just like throw on a green little clip, or do they want like a whole car to be
red? Red. This is Randy's thing. Red.
Okay.
You know, he's gone all over the world, and he just wanted to do this. And so this is our 7th annual, and I've done this.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But this year I told him, I said, hey, Randy, it's going to have to be red and then whatever, because my race car is coming. It's not red.
Just put a red sticker on it. So.
It has red sticker.
There you go. It's ready to go.
So we're doing all the red in the middle, and then all the outsides will be all the other cars. And we want every car to come possible because, like I said, the money's going to the charity.
So what's the best way if somebody wants to be involved to either bring a car? Is that saying they can bring a car?
Bring it the day of.
Red?
Nope. You
can
bring
any
color, size, shape.
Okay.
And I hope you're listening to me, Lugnut, because it's any color, size, or shape. Yeah, no.
And you're going to set the example for that because yours is not 100% red.
No,
it has
not.
A red sticker, so.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We just want to give the money to charity, so we want all. You know, the red cars are going to get in a special parking.
Now, you guys have plenty of space there in the middle.
Yeah, we
parking
can house
area?
300 cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And more because we have the whole front parking lot. And our museum is going to be open that day, buildings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's even
And normally
cooler.
It's never free, but this day it will be free.
Wow.
And you can come see about 60 hot rods.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go there and I'm going to want. What time?
10 to 4.
10 to 4, okay.
Yeah.
Is there going to be food?
There's
going to
be food. There'll be all kinds of things.
So much fun.
I'm going to do a 50-50 raffle.
Okay.
And I'm going to put in $500 to that to cool. start off. And then, you know, I'll probably double it by the time the day's done
okay.
to give to the charity and to somebody that wins it.
What's the entry fee per car?
$20.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. And if somebody wants to show up and they want to donate on the spot, they
yep,
can do that.
They can.
So bring, you know, empty your piggy banks.
Yes, for sure.
Gary, empty your piggy bank. Can we do a giveaway his bomber car or something like that, a raffle for it? You want to do that?
Yeah.
No? He's mad at me right now. He's like, oh, come on, man. You're putting me on the spot.
Hey, I want Gary to come and sign my wall at my museum because I have a wall of fame there.
I
signed that. And I've never signed nobody's wall before. I was like, you've got to come and sign my wall just
there you
because.
Go, I know where you're going to be Saturday, sometime between 10 and 4.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep.
I would love that.
Bring your checkbook.
I will be there. I got to empty out my Bristol.
And don't feel bad if you don't have a lot of money. You don't have to give $500 if you want to come
give
$5. There you go.
I'm just giving $500 to the 50-50 so that when people buy a 50-50 ticket, they feel like they're going to get something in the end.
Well, no, and they will if they win, right?
They will.
50-50.
Yeah. I want to make sure the 50-50, I want everybody that comes there to enjoy themselves, and if they give a 50-50 ticket, I want them to have a chance to win something big.
So that there is no entry to come look, but if they want to donate, you can.
If you want to donate a dollar, I mean, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, it's all going to the Speedway.
That's really cool. I know that's somewhere you guys all need to be this Saturday. There's no races this Saturday, so we're going to be able to look at your car and look at the dents. And
the black marks.
You know what? If Sherry has bumped your car, come to the car show and sign your name on the bump on your car.
That would be a cool idea. Oh, I like that.
See? So come out.
Come sign my car, please.
There you go.
Every person that comes and signs my car, I'll put money to the charity.
I will be there. Gary, we got to come sign it.
I mean that. I really mean that.
Okay.
This charity is very important and dear to my heart. And,
cool.
You know, my dad and my mom was one that, from the minute we built these museums, if you don't mind me telling you about them a little bit.
Absolutely.
So my mom and dad have, you know, 250 hot rods. My mom has a memorabilia collection that is amazing. And so when I was in my younger years, when I used to drive for my dad, he asked me to come into the office and stop driving. And he said, you know, we have to have somebody run the business. Well, it was when I got in there that I realized my mom and dad were collectors. I never knew they really were because I was raising my own family at home.
Is that interesting?
So I got in there and I started seeing all the things they were collecting. And then they started really traveling because somebody was running, you know, the office. And I think they've been open 15 years, but I have 4 buildings and it's full and it's only 60% of my mom and dad's collection.
Wow.
So what I built them for is because I wanted to show our children and our grandchildren what history is about. I don't ever want it to be left out.
That's cool.
And I wanted to preserve what they thought was cool to collect. And someday Chris and I will, hope my dad's not listening. Someday we're going to take, and we're going to change the whole thing and make a different theme building in our whole property because we have a lot of tenants right now.
Right.
But I just want to preserve history and show the world, like about our grandfather and our grandmas and, you know, our great ancestors of what where they came from and where they are today. And to me, that's the greatest thing. You cannot ever let history get away from you.
Right. And, you know, what better way than in the history of, you know, cars? And there's all different history of cars. There's the Chevys, there's the Fords, and there's the things, I mean, all the cars I don't even know about. And, and you guys have a little bit of everything there, and it shows.
We have strictly Chevys and strictly Fords.
Okay.
A couple Dodges, that's it. Out of 250 cars, I think we have 241 Fords.
Wow.
My dad.
You just made him smile.
My dad
you
is
just
a
just made
Ford
him
guy.
Smile because he's a Ford guy.
Yeah, well, you and my dad would get along really well. I didn't.
So guess what, Gary? I know you need to be this Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah, sign the wall.
Sign, there you go. And the car.
I was surprised I got to buy a Chevy to drive for my race car.
Did your dad just own you?
You were led in the wrong direction.
I was.
It was already dented, so.
Yeah.
No, that is really cool what your family has done for this community because that is a, you know, even though it's a passion of your family, it's a community thing that you guys have turned it into to be able to allow people to come in and look at this history. that's really cool. I mean, you know, you guys put yourselves out there and your lives to do this, and it's really amazing. And
Thank you.
I hope people take advantage of these charities that you guys do to be able to give back.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad to hear that, and I definitely know where I'm going to stop by Saturday.
I can't wait. You're going to have to sign my wall, too.
I will. I'll find it small.
Whatever.
But no, that's cool. And you know what? And it'd be really cool to maybe this year you have just your race car, but maybe next year you have another one, and you have a race car section.
I think I'm moving up in the world. And we'll see.
You have a race car section.
We'll see.
That's cool. Any talk about that? Maybe like a street stock?
Yeah, we've already talked about
stock.
It.
All right.
We've talked about it, yeah. I want to move up for
just
sure.
So you know, the smile keeps getting bigger as the racing gets bigger.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah.
So.
No, I want to move up. Of course, you got to try different classes. You got to.
Right.
I mean, if I'm going to experience this, I better experience it. I better experience it to the full.
You know what? I think a huge experience is going to be when you get on that bull ring. It's a whole, you know,
that's
it's
what
a
I've
10
been
car,
saying.
But a different track, and
I'm
it totally different.
I'm so excited. And I'm very excited because my family will be able to come and watch me, and, you know, I'm really excited about that.
You got to have a little more fear, though, because you got to fear that wall a little more. Because you're going a little bit faster, right?
Yep.
That's what I heard.
You're not going to wear that, you know.
That's
I mean,
what I heard.
We've all had our experiences with it, and, you know, none of us like it. I've totaled a mini stock when I used to race a mini stock out there years and years ago. But, you know, it don't stop you. You know, I used parts out of that, built a whole other one, and kept on going, you know.
It's a learning curve, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of fun. Any other sponsors or anything like that?
Just my dad, Art Goldstrom, you know, Chris Klein, Thompson. You know, I'm sure I'll have some along the way, but, you know, I got to give a big shout out to my dad because he's been my biggest supporter, and Chris, you know, they, and my whole team. I love them, and I appreciate them supporting me and my family, of course, you know.
You know, and even though it took all these years, I'm glad you were able to find Circle Track Racing. And hey, guess what? Being in a factory stock division, there's always the Pahrump Dirt Track too.
I know. I've been wanting to go there.
You know, there's a guy to talk to.
I'm going there. I'm going there at some point.
He can give you some pointers.
It's a lot of fun in the dirt.
Oh, I know. I saw my first dirt race in Alaska when Bridget and I were going.
Wow.
Yeah, so Bridget's always been my oval person, you know, and Chris. And we were up in Alaska because I take her on vacation there every summer. And we go to a race, and I'm like, Bridget, this is so cool. I can do this. And she's like, oh, God.
Do you snowmobiles up there? They have cars.
Well, that's a whole other radio show there.
How come Bridget's not in the car?
I took Bridget minus 24 one time.
No,
she's from Wisconsin.
Oh.
She knows what it's like, and I was freezing my, you know, no say no more, but my friends were like, this is not safe.
We don't like this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
I'll never get used to the cold. That's why I live in Vegas. I don't like the cold. But you know what? Maybe when you jump out of the factory stock and into something else, and you can get Bridget in the factory stock.
Oh, no, that's
got
to go to the museum.
All right. No, but dirt would be cool. You know, you got the bull ring coming up under your belt, so I'm
excited.
You might just get hooked at this track up here. What are you going to do if you like this track better? Are you still going to maybe
do you know what?
Travel?
It'll just depend where Chris wants to go and what he wants to do, you know?
So we'll talk to
Chris. You want to try dirt racing.
You should.
I think they're going there this weekend to try it, and
I can't
go because I have a car show at the evening.
Okay.
But I want to go so bad.
We'll get you there. It's so much fun on dirt. But
it's a lot of
anyways, fun. Saturday, be at Nostalgia on
Cameron. It's right by the one lane.
And real quick, what's the best way they can find you?
Sherry Goldstrom on Facebook or Nostalgia Street Rods on Facebook.
Okay. And we know you're going to be this Saturday, 10 to 4. Please be there. Otherwise, thank you for being here. We'll see you at the track.
Thank you for having me.
And, yep, May 8th out of Vegas. And you got a rent coming up also at Havasu. So if you want, take a short drive to Havasu and watch Sherry. And we'll see you live here next Tuesday at PM at onwheelsnow.com. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening.